This week, Tom's History Corner has kind of an international flavor. We're going to learn about some history at UConn, but we're also going to learn about some history further afield. I was recently looking through the archives of the New York Times, as one does, and I came upon this story, Dateline Stores, Connecticut, June 10th, 1911. I'm going to read this story. The headline is, Takes Frogs Back to Japan. Kamau Inanya, a Japanese student who has just received his diploma from the Connecticut Agricultural College here, is on his way back to Japan today, carrying with him, carefully crated, a dozen of the largest and best specimens of bullfrogs he has been able to gather from the ponds in the surrounding country. It is his intention to use them in the propagation of the species in Japan, where the frogs are all small and not edible. So when I saw this, I thought, was this our first international student? 1911?
Maybe.
And I also thought they probably got his name wrong, because Inanya does not sound like a Japanese name at all. My hunch is that it was Inouye, like the senator from Hawaii. So I started doing some research on that. And yes, indeed, his name was Kamau Inouye. So the New York Times misspelled his first name and last name.
Good job, Tom.
Even then, fake news from the failing New York Times. And I found some references to him in The Lookout, which was the predecessor of the Daily Campus. It was a monthly sort of newspaper. So he, when he came to visit here, for example, he brought us gifts of grapes, like a grape, you know, plants, which is a good Connecticut gift, right? Qui transdulit sustinent and all that.
Right.
And he also brought two Japanese maple trees.
Oh, I love those.
Now, I don't know if this is one of the ones he brought, but there is still a Japanese maple tree in front of the Buds building.
Can we find out?
We probably can find
out. I bet it's in that tree guide I have on my desk.
Probably is. But it's a beautiful tree. You should go see it. It has a plaque on it, so you know it's a Japanese maple
tree. Yeah, it's probably in my tree guide then.
He also did a hybrid carnation flower that was very popular,
wow.
Dark red carnation. He's a popular student, apparently. And when he left, when he graduated, this is what the Lookout wrote about him. He actually was supposed to graduate in 1912, but he was conscripted to serve in the Japanese Army. So they gave him his diploma anyway. So they say that, and they say, Mr. Inouye recently paid a brief visit back to Connecticut, and upon his return to Japan, took with him 6 head of registered stock representing the leading dairy breeds, cows, 1 pair of English bulldogs, some turkeys, and some pigeons. Being advised to purchase his cattle in the middle or western states, thus saving trouble and expensive transportation across the continent, Mr. Inouye replied, but I wish them to come from Connecticut.
Aww.
This reply indicates a feeling of loyalty to our state and college, which should be an inspiration to all connected.
These are all live animals, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Thank you.
It is not difficult to imagine the scene when Mr. Inouye arrives in Japan with his happy family. One wonders if the bullfrogs, which he took to Japan from the little pond and stores last year, will recover from their homesickness and welcome the travelers from Connecticut.
That's cool.
Okay, I have a question. Did they go across the country in trains, or did they go through the Panama Canal?
I'm guessing they probably went through the Panama Canal. I was really excited about this because I'm planning on going to Japan later this year.
Yes.
And I thought, well, I'm going to find
Connecticut bullfrogs
connected with Kamau Inouye. He later on found they actually had his street address in Japan published in a
so he could mail him letters. Or
I guess.
Are you going to go? Take a picture.
He lived in a place called Yodobashi in Tokyo. Which, upon some further research, after World War II was merged with 2 other districts to form Shinjuku Ward, which is like, I don't know, Shinjuku Ward is probably the heart of the city. It has the world's busiest train station with 2 million passengers a day. You know the hotel in Lost in Translation?
Yeah.
That's in Shinjuku, so it's all like skyscrapers. So there's probably not many farmers.
Yeah, no, his place probably not there anymore.
But there is a business called Kodobashi Cameras, which preserves the old name. So I was going to go get my picture taken, maybe with a little carnation in my lapel, you know?
Snazzy.
To pay tribute to the first international student. By the way, I also did some research on the bullfrog question.
Yes.
And as you may have guessed, bullfrogs are one of the most destructive invasive species.
Oh, no.
In Japan, the Japanese government has been trying without success to eradicate them for about 100 years.
Is it his fault?
Well, so the Japanese government website that talks about this says that the North American bullfrog was introduced in 1918 from New Orleans.
Oh.
So I think that might let our guy off the hook.
But he did it before that.
Well, possibly they died in transit.
Yeah, that's very possible.
Stores to Tokyo in 1911 was along. What I like to think happened is that the Yukon bullfrogs were polite and respectful and did not compete with native species because they were guests. And it was only when they imported the rowdy and raucous bullfrogs from
New Orleans,
from
obviously.
Louisiana.
Yep.
You know how they are down there.
Louisiana.
I've been to Bourbon Street. I know what goes on.
They were like the Michigan J-Frog.
Yeah. So I was really
excited.
Did
they bring beignets with them?
Yes.
I was really excited until I did some more research.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And it turns out Kamau Inouye was not the first international student at UConn.
I was going to ask you if we ever confirmed that. So, okay.
In 1910, there was a graduate of Thomas Konstantinov from Bulgaria.
Hmm.
And he had a brief bio published in The Lookout that year, saying Tommy was born in Bulgaria in 1880, came to the United States in 1907, and entered Connecticut as a junior in the fall of 08. He expects to return to Europe this summer, will probably make a study of the dairy industry in Holland, and in about a year return to Bulgaria. Tommy delights in arguing, is a great philosopher, a socialist, and a pessimist. Tommy became quite intimate with a short course girl in the winter because, he said, she speaks my language. He won the first bacteriology prize, dairy course, and he did not allow them to take his picture for the yearbook.
Okay.
Okay, so he likes to argue, and he
picked up a chick.
So I thought, okay, all right. But then...
Oh, my gosh.
Did some more research. 1909.
Wow.
1909. Graduate, one Abelardo Pachano from Ecuador.
Wow.
There is a picture of him, and I'll post this on the old Maine Twitter account, which is at Maine_old. It's a great picture. He looks, you know, the classic Edwardian college student with the high, stiff collar and all that. This is what it says about Abelardo Pachano. Having learned all that Ecuador could teach him, Pachano came to the United States and landed at Storrs in September 07. This bright-faced young man, being of a wandering disposition, rooms part of the time in the new dorm and part of the time in Storrs Hall. He is an expert fencer, and when it comes to arguing, carajo. I'm not going to translate that because that's like a legitimate swear word in Spanish. Blue language in the Lookout.
So do we have to put a beep on that for those folks who understand the language?
What kind of swear word?
It's like, so it's like when it comes to arguing, holy sugar, honey, iced tea.
Gotcha.
But I don't have a talk with the Lookout editors. That's not.
You're going to have a talk with them. Good luck through your medium.
What would President Taft
at
say?
At the Depot campus?
There's no way to represent Storrs Agricultural College.
So
anyway.
This is fascinating. The people, how did they end up here?
Expects to study 2 more years in the United States, return to Ecuador. Says he is too young to love and too old to marry.
They were really focused on people's love lives in the Lookout.
He also won the first prize in bacteriology. So
wasn't much else to study here then.
And he was switching dorms.
Splitting his time into really.
Is that why he was studying bacteriology?
Who knows? Maybe. Who knows? Well, you know, he's too young to love, so probably healthy.
Oh my gosh. That's cool.
So, and then I found this thing called the catalog that the university would produce for state government, and I found the 1916 edition. And one thing they included in this was an appendix listing everyone who'd ever graduated, where they were living then, and what they were doing for a living. And there weren't that, I mean, you know, some of those early classes were like 6 people.
Mm-hmm.
So Kamau Inouye is in there. He's listed as a farmer living in Tokyo. Thomas Konstantinov is listed as a teacher living in Bulgaria. Mm-hmm. And Abelardo Pachano is listed as a teacher living in Ecuador. And going back before that, all the way back to 1883, I am convinced that Abelardo Pachano was our first international student. Everyone else has a super-duper Yankee name, pretty much.
I believe you.
I couldn't find anything about what happened to him afterwards. However, there is a well-known economist and a central banker in Ecuador named Abelardo Pachano, who is from the same city, born in 1946, so maybe a grandson
cool.
of our Abelardo Pachano.